It's time now for the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review with Dr. Lou Campomenosi, president of the Common Sense Campaign and adjunct professor of political science at Spring Hill College. This program is paid for by Spriggs Enterprises, featuring the Shell gas stations in Daphne and in Malbus with the state-of-the-art car wash. And good morning, Dr. Lou.
Hello, Laurie. Good to see you again.
You as well.
Listen, folks, I don't know about you, but these weeks are going so fast, and the news gets worse every week. It's just hard to believe what Biden and them were saying about Cuba, which I'll talk about in a minute. But, I mean, you know, how is it possible that the Homeland Security Director will go on TV and tell the Cuban people who are possibly thinking about escaping from communist tyranny, don't come? Meanwhile, he's let a million people in across the border who are illegal and who are probably more than likely just economic asylum seekers, not political asylum seekers. And, you know, some of them are criminals. Some of them have COVID, high percentage, 10%. But that's okay. But it's really not okay. So I do want to talk about that. But before I do that, I want to just go through a little bit of what I wanted to talk about with the other part of the show today. As you know, critical race theory has been on our minds. Now, critical race theory is nothing more than a reformulation of the communist approach to how things are supposed to be done, okay? Instead of saying that it's the capitalists who are oppressing the workers, now it's the whites who are oppressing the blacks. And the only solution to this, just as with regular Marxism, is what the BLM people are all saying, as well as their academic supporters like Kendi and Harris. You have to have a revolution, got to seize property, got to take that wealth and redistribute it. That's what this is all about. So that's one of the reasons why we have been so opposed to it. And we will continue to be opposed to it. But it's not just us who has to be opposed to it. The people who are in charge have to be opposed to it. And so one of the things that we have been doing, and I spent last week doing this, is speaking to boards of education. We've organized it at the state level. We're doing it. Last week, I spoke twice at the Baldwin Board of Education on Tuesday and again on Thursday, presenting them with a resolution that bans critical race theory. We're doing that throughout the state. On the 26th of July, we'll do it in Mobile County. My point being, it's time consuming and it needs your help. If you go to the Common Sense Campaign website, you'll see information there that will help you get schooled up on critical race theory so that you can join the effort to stop this. Stop it with your representatives. Representative Pringle from Mobile has already gone ahead and put something together on this, a bill to stop Common Core. I understand Representative Matt Simpson from our area here has joined the fray. So the point is that we as educated, involved, engaged citizens can have an impact. We need to do that. And in order to have this impact, I've asked Jackie Ziegler to come on the show this morning at about 10:20. So that will give me some time to cover these issues about foreign policy, which you know I have been covering, and I'm going to continue to cover them. But that's basically what I want to do today. Two things. I want to talk about foreign policy and the failures of this administration once again, and then talk about what's going on at the State Board of Education, because the State Board had a discussion at their work session on Tuesday the 13th. I think I mentioned this last Monday when we were on, how the State Board had a discussion about it, the previous board, and now they had a full discussion of a possible resolution. So we want to hear from Jackie to get a sense of what was going on with that. So that will be at 10:20. I know you're all anxious to hear what we're going to talk about with our friends there in Washington, D.C. You know, I mentioned this business about the border. And it is an outrage. But they're doing this for a purpose. They want to have these people all become voting citizens. They want to change the demographics. They're sending these people throughout the country. And so as we look at the foreign policy implications of what Biden and them are doing, I think it's important to kind of take a close look at what is going on from the past, or what went on with the past. Because, you know, the past is prologue. And if you think that Joe Biden's stripes were going to change just because he's now El Presidente, forget it. Just forget it. He's not. And here's the proof of this. When you start looking at what he did as the vice president, and I'll just do it at that level, okay? I mean, I suppose I could go back and dig up other things prior to his vice presidency. But just to be fair, because it's recent, and because I think it certainly takes you down the road of who this guy really is. This is who he is as a mature politician in a incredibly important position. And if I'm not mistaken, he was in charge of the Ukraine. So whatever he did there, and China, as a matter of fact. So whatever happened then, I think tells us a lot about what we can expect in the future. Now, these are things that I've suggested before. I certainly said a lot about it in the work up to the election. But the point is now, he's the president, and he's doing things which just don't make a whole lot of sense from the standpoint of dealing with this new axis of evil. You've heard that term before. Bush talked about it, you know, as we were dealing with the rise of global terrorism and Al-Qaeda. He framed it along the lines of the global terrorists, the Iranians, and the North Koreans. And today, you still have the Iranians, the North Koreans, you've got the Chinese, you've got the Russians, you've got Venezuela, and you've got Cuba. All communist countries. Russians may not be technically communist, but they might as well be. So let's take a look at what Biden did when he was vice president in terms of foreign policy. The first thing that they did was they left Iraq too early. They had to come back, okay? He's doing the same thing in Afghanistan, as I said last week. Same thing. In terms of dealing with bin Laden, he was opposed to taking out bin Laden. Wow, that's a real toughie. Didn't want to take bin Laden out. Didn't want to take Soleimani out just a few last year when Trump was doing it. Oh no, can't take out the arch strategist, the most successful, really, terrorist strategist that's ever been around. Didn't want to take him out. I do think that, you know, part of a major critique that I have been saying for a long time is that Obama's red line in the sand over Syria and the failure of that red line is a key indicator of who these people are. Okay? Joe Biden was at the right hand of the father, Obama, doing what Obama wanted, which was nothing more than to get a deal, a nuclear deal with the Iranians. It was the centerpiece of his foreign policy. And to do that, he had to make sure that the Ruskies got the Iranians to the table. And how did he do that? Well, he just said, don't worry about the red line. Ain't no red line, folks. We're not doing anything. If Assad wants to use, you know, weapons of mass destruction against his own people, despite my red line, have at it, because I want that Iran deal. That's it. So there's Biden at the right hand going right along with it. It's just absolutely outrageous. And I think that the degree to which, of all things, well, I don't know if I want to say of all things, I think that that is one of the most significant things that you can look at to understand what Biden is all about. Okay? If he sees a goal that's necessary for him, then he will sell anyone out. Okay? Just like the next one on the list is he sold out the Ukrainians. You remember this whole deal about how it was Joe Biden who bragged about what was going on with trying to shut down the Ukrainian government's investigation into Burisma, which was an oil company that his son Hunter was working for. I mean, he's on TV saying, you know, and son of a bee, they shut it down because I was going to take away $1 billion in aid. Well, not only was that outrage bragged about, but he also was in charge of trying to formulate an American response to what the Ruskies were doing in the eastern part of Ukraine. They're still there because that's exactly what they did under Biden's watch. On two occasions, one thing was Crimea. Putin launched a wonderful, smart operation, and we did nothing about that. And then the next thing you know, Biden lets Putin infiltrate all sorts of people looking like they're Ukrainians and creates a civil war type situation, with the argument being that the people there in eastern Ukraine are more Russian than they are Ukrainian, and they want to be under the control of wonderful mother Russia. Okay? So what did Biden do? He sends, you know, medical aid, you know, non-lethal supplies, et cetera, et cetera. What did Trump do? Now, Trump is Mr. Collusion with the Ruskies. This is what they kept saying month after month for two frigging years. Okay? And what does Trump do? He sends anti-tank weapons. He gives the Ukrainians the means by which they can actually defend themselves. But oh no, he's Mr. Collusion. This is such garbage. I have a hard time not just flipping out on this. But this is what we're dealing with, folks. They lie, they cheat, they steal, and we're supposed to just be okay with it. And of course, hey, if you're on Facebook and dare to say something about this, well, you know, they're going to put you on the misinformation list. And that's coming. And I'll tell you what we're going to do. Our Common Sense Campaign Facebook is going to test this proposition, because I'm going to put some outrageous things that happen to be true that these liberal, progressive, radical, communist people don't want to hear. We're going to start testing it. So, I mean, you know, we've gone through that little segment of his tenure. Well, look at what was going on in East Asia. I mean, the Chinese were able to militarize the East China Sea, the South China Sea. They were putting pressure on Taiwan. They continue to put pressure on Taiwan with incursions. Their jet aircraft, you know, violate Taiwan's airspace. Trump embraced Taiwan. Biden has already taken away the various aspects of a diplomatic solution to the Taiwan problem, backing off of recognition, moving against bringing the Taiwan officials to this country, because it offends China. And then, of course, you've got all of these people who are involved, who are the Democratic supporters, who are in bed with the Chinese. Folks, I'll tell you, this axis of evil issue is not an abstract right-wing conspiracy Looney Tunes theory. It's real. It is absolutely real. And if we don't wake up to it soon, we're going to find ourselves in a very difficult position from the standpoint of military strategy, geopolitical issues linked to economic issues. That's how serious it is. Well, another serious part of what I want to talk about today is this critical race theory. And I think that if we don't get a grip on this, we're going to see a repeat of what happened with Common Core. It's going to become embedded, and then we'll never get it out. So in order to prevent it from being embedded, the best thing to do is nip it in the bud. And someone who has been helping to nip it in the bud is our state representative from the State Board of Education, Jackie Ziegler. Jackie, welcome to the show. Thank you for coming on this morning.
Good morning, Lou. How are you today?
Oh, I'm just peachy keen after talking about Biden and foreign policy. So give me some good news, okay? I mean, really. No, seriously, I do want to try to tease out what's been going on so that everyone listening has an understanding of just what took place that brought about this whole discussion. And then maybe if you could just kind of get into a little bit of a perhaps a personal interpretation of your sense of where the state board is going in terms of dealing with critical race theory. I think that people would like to hear that. So it's yours.
I think when you said you wanted to hear some good news, I think that is one part of which I can relay, because the state school board has picked up the banner, so to speak, to address this issue. And I know as we spoke at a event last night, we're not going to call it CRT. We need to start calling it critical race theory so everybody understands from where we're coming.
Right.
What had happened in our June meeting is that the governor presented to the board a resolution banning or addressing what CRT is. And so with that, we were also given the Georgia resolution, and we were charged with responsibility of going out and coming back with feedback from our constituents, input from our citizens, and also looking at various other resolutions, laws, acts that have thus come forth, such as I said, Georgia, Iowa, North Carolina, and, you know, we can go on and on.
Right.
Oh, and also we did receive one from Eagle Forum / Alabama Policy Institute.
Yeah.
Then at the July meeting, we came back and addressed verbally what was our feedback. And so when we left, we were given a sort of a cut and paste, for lack of a better word, of a new resolution. But we have to have it in the last of our input on, by July 30th.
Yeah, I
so
think
that
that's what it
be
was.
Written, for lack of a better word, edited by the 5th, so we can vote on it at our August meeting.
Well, I think you're absolutely right that that is good news. Let me just ask you this. In terms of the resolution being strong enough, there were some issues about that. Are you satisfied with where what you heard and saw in July at the last meeting? Did it strike you as being strong enough, or were there things that you would have liked to have seen addressed to strengthen the document?
Well, as I mentioned, what I did is I made a copy of all the resolutions of which I had in front of me, and I had done my homework and reviewed. And when I laid them side by side by side by side, there is a definitive common thread throughout many of them. And one of our state school board members had addressed that we need teeth. And one of them was the issue of not accepting federal money or state money if it is indeed tied to promoting.
Yeah, that's a critical one for sure.
CRT.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know the next step to give it teeth is for it to be put into Alabama Administrative Code.
Now, can you just briefly describe that process of the administrative code to give it teeth. And let me ask you this, though. Are there going to be penalties as part of giving it teeth so that if teachers, woke teachers, decide that they're going to go ahead and do this no matter what because they're right and we're wrong, what happens then?
Now, that will be part of the discussion at the August meeting because that, I have to say, I do not know. Because that has to come from legal, you know, input. We have to make sure we've talked to various, possibly other states that have already implemented it. You know, so if we can stay out of hot water, I think it's imperative that we do this and do it right.
Well, I agree with that. Let me just ask you this, though. As a former principal, how did you handle questions about sensitive issues in various disciplines, particularly social science, where this would be? What, I mean, in terms of having a discussion with the teachers, look, this is not in the course of study, we can't go into this, or if it's in the if it's not in the course of study, but it's a hot issue, we're going to talk about it, but here are some baselines. I mean, what's your sense of that?
That is where I think you all are doing a commendable job where you are going to the local school boards and let them put forth a policy or a process so that their principals are aware of how to deal with such issues. And there it should be coming from the local because they know their teachers, their schools better than any, and their superintendents.
Yeah, well, I completely agree with that. I mean, I do think it's really going to be in the trenches. And the only people who are in the trenches
Absolutely.
Are the teachers and the principals. So, I mean, I guess back to my question, though, is how would you as a principal want to deal with this? And obviously it's a hypothetical for you, but still, you have experience with other issues that perhaps might, you know, have risen. Maybe not as hot an issue as this, but just trying to make sure that we stay within the course of study, but, you know, having to deal with issues that pop up.
Well, anytime you have something like that, communication is the key. And so, therefore, you sit them down, and then you have the open conversation so that everybody understands from where you're coming, you hear their voice, if they have some misunderstandings or maybe they just don't understand from what is their responsibility is how I always address anything. You always have to keep that open door communication. Don't sweep it under the rug and hope it doesn't come up and rear its ugly head. And that's one of the issues about critical race is that we are for once on the preventative side rather than on the back end of it trying to undo something. So
right.
This is the time to be meeting with the individual local boards and letting them understand that it goes from them to their superintendent down to their principals.
Right. Let me ask you this. There was a column in Sunday's paper, and I've had issues with this person who has written this before. I mean, she wrote about July 4th as nothing more than beer, barbecue, and Bubba. And I really kind of took that on in my response to a Common Sense campaign in my July 4th message. But in this particular case here, what she's arguing is that we're attempting, here's the title is, "For the Love of God and Our Children, Please Let Our Teachers Teach." The working assumption is that people like me and others are trying to shut down teaching on this particular issue as well as other issues. Now, my feeling here is that critical race theory is not something that should be taught because of the nature of critical race theory. Now, to say that we couldn't have discussions of what critical race theory is a different issue in my view. It's just like this issue of 1619. The 1619 Project is all over the place. My feeling here is that, sure, you always want to talk about 1619, but if you're going to frame it as the radical lefts want to do, making the case that 1619 is all about, you know, slavery, and that's the the central, you know, argument about America and the formation of America based on the Revolution was all about saving slavery. That's just not true. So, I guess...
Well, and I think there is some, you know, as in anything, little twigs come off the tree, and those are misinformation or scare tactics or trying to make teachers think, oh, they want to shut down all types of teaching. Well, that's where it's so imperative that when someone comes to you, when someone calls you, when someone emails you, you have the knowledge of which to answer, to allay their fears, to tell them we're not asking any change in teaching that abides by the course of study, that those are issues that are not true. And so, you know, sort of like we said, nip it in the bud before that fear-mongering goes on and on and really is an upsetting. And the parents are critical, as well as the grandparents and guardians, to keep their ears to the ground.
Right.
Keep their eyes open. Talk to their kids and ask what is being asked. Look at their assignments that are being given to them. And the test questions. I mean, all of that is within their rights to look at and to review, and that will tell them a lot.
Well, I think that that's, you know, very good advice, and I think after a whole year of being exposed to what's going on through virtual schools, it has gotten parents really upset, which is really kind of a lead-in question, and that's this whole business of Common Core. I know the argument that this person made in her article was that we're trying to shut down the teachers from doing things. She, you know, talks about the politicians and this, that, and the other. But the reality is Common Core math especially drives the teachers to follow one way only. And it's testing involved. It's test, test, test. There's no time to really take the kid and get that child, you know, schooled up, because the next thing you know, it's another test. So my point here is that in defending teachers, it seems to me one of the best things we could do is to remove Common Core math. And I know that we've been talking, we've had, you know, Terry Lathan working with the governor's staff and with Superintendent Mackey. So my question to you is that what is your sense of the degree to which the governor might be willing to become the fifth vote on the state board to get rid of this whole math business?
All I can say to you is that it's an election year.
Yeah.
So if there is enough of an uproar or conversation or communication about the huge pushback against Common Core, election year is the year to do it, Lou, and you know it as well as I.
Okay. Well, Jackie, we're almost out of time. I've got a minute, and I never want to press Lori too far for going over. So I really appreciate you coming on. I know you've got a busy schedule, and we're looking forward to seeing you tonight at our meeting, where I guess you'll get a chance to say all this all over again.
That's right. And it's 6 o'clock, right, Lou?
6 o'clock, yes, ma'am. All right, Jackie, y'all take care.
Good night.
Tell Jim hi for us.
I shall. Bye.
Okay.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think there's some, you know, a light at the end of the tunnel, perhaps, with critical race theory. Hopefully something positive will be happening on the Common Core front. That's another question in terms of, like Jackie says, it's an election year. What is the governor's choice going to be? If she goes to take out Common Core math, which we think she should, and we've got 4 votes to do that, what do all of her supporters in the educational establishment, the Business Council of Alabama, which supported this stuff for 10 years, and the workforce development people, which think that Common Core is producing such wonderful kids who know so much? I'm sorry, we're 52nd in the nation in math and 48th in ELA. How is it possible to think that continuing Common Core is anything other than insanity? You know? just for the audience who can't see Lori, she's agreeing with me. Thank you, Lori.
Sorry about
all right.
that.
All right, so I've reached the limit. I'm already over. But look, folks, you all have got to stay engaged in this. Please go to the Common Sense Campaign website. Take a look at what's going on. And we'll do our best to keep everyone involved. But again, like I said, the Alabama Conservative Coalition, of which Common Sense is part of, we're working throughout the state to go after these local boards of education to make sure that they stop critical race theory from even starting. That's the name of the game, guys. It's nip it in the bud.
So by going to commonsensecampaign.org,
yes,
folks can find information.
You can find information about what we're doing and talking points against it.
To approach their own school boards.
Yes, to approach their own school boards. You don't have to wait for the Common Sense Campaign to do something. Jump in there yourselves. We've had Common Sense Campaign members speak at the last Board of Education meeting, not just me. So I think that this is the time for us to do something and go back to the old thing. If not me, who? If not now, when? I'll leave it at that. Thank you, Lori. Y'all take care. God bless.
Very good. Thank you, Dr. Lou. You've been listening to the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review, brought to you by Spriggs Enterprises, featuring the Shell gas stations in Daphne and in Malbus with the state-of-the-art car wash. Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review, hosted by Dr. Lou Campomenosi. Mondays at 10:05. You can also listen later at WABF1480.com.